Well, hi, everybody out there. If this music does not get you in the mood for some cooking, some holidays, then I do not know what will. Welcome to Living Linky Style. My name is Linky Mare, and we are here tonight talking fun food holidays. And, you know, the show concept, I was inspired by Julia Child, my favorite chef, where she said you don't have to be fancy, you don't have to cook great fancy things. Your food just has to be tasty, and you just have to take that risk to create wonderful recipes. Y'all, welcome. And tonight I'm so excited to have a great guest with me. She was actually on the same season of Food Network Star with me. We're great friends. She's an awesome chef. She was on Food Network Star with me. She's been on Chopped, Food Fighters. This lady knows her stuff. She's Miss New England herself, Michelle Regusis. Michelle, are you there?
Linky, I'm here. What a good intro. Thanks, buddy.
Well, hold on. Did I say your last name right? Because I'm usually the one whose last name gets butchered. Did I say it right? Regusis,
yeah, no,
or
said
Regusis?
It right. I know, because I always say yours. La, 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 la.
Yes, exactly. Well, thank you for joining me tonight. I'm so excited. You know, are you ready for the holidays? What are you cooking? Have you been cooking? What are you cooking tonight?
I have not been cooking. I've been cooking today. I made actually my friend a Thanksgiving dinner because we had some friends over, and it's her favorite. And since we're in the holiday spirit, we could still do Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, I love turkey. I do it like five times a year, so why not?
I was about to ask, Thanksgiving? No, it's past Thanksgiving. So you just love turkey that much that you just had to cook another Thanksgiving meal.
Yeah, I love it. And the traditional style. I love turkey. I love gravy. I love stuffing. I mean, really, it's just about stuffing and the gravy to me. But
okay, well, then since we're talking turkey,
it.
Then what do you do to your turkey? Do you brine? Do you not brine? Do you roast? Do you smoke? What do you do?
Okay, I am not a fan. God, I'm going to get crucified. I'm not a fan of brining. I think it's an unnecessary step, and I think if you cook your turkey properly, then it will not dry out, and it will be just as juicy as any other, and I don't think it lends any flavor to it. And I don't do much to my turkey, you know? I mean, I roast it, and I butter it, and I make a butter with a lot of herbs and rub it all over the skin, a little olive oil. Roasted over some carrots and celery. That's my rack. So I use vegetables as a rack to raise it. And then I roast it. And I roast it at really like 12 minutes a pound. I think people go like that 15, 20 minutes, and that's where they kill it. And then I let it rest for a good 25 minutes.
Absolutely. Now, okay, hold on. So you say you rub your butter on top of the skin. I usually stuff it underneath the skin. So does it make it extra crispy?
You know, that's what I think it does. And I also like to salt my turkey a day before. So I salt the skin, and then it dries it out. And then when you roast it, it's really crispy.
Hmm. Well, very interesting. Now, do you roast at 350, 450?
350.
I usually like to go a little higher, higher and faster because I have no patience. So I go higher and faster rather than slower and slower.
I know that you have no patience. I go 350. I have some patience. And I'm going 12 minutes a pound again and then letting it rest. So, you know, the whole process to me, you know, when I was a kid, I grew up and everyone would take like 15 hours. They would wake up at 3 in the morning, start their turkey. It was crazy. I mean, made turkey dinner. I started at 3. We just finished eating. So, you know, I can bang it out.
Well, you said you were a child. Now, who taught you to cook? Did you go to culinary school, or did you have a grandma or mother? Or, like, where does your cooking come from?
Okay, well, so it comes from my mother, I'm going to say. I did go to culinary school. Hated it. And I had a yaya.
I wonder why.
And a nana. So I had a Greek grandmother and an Italian grandmother. And so I just really think from my Italian grandmother, my Greek grandmother, my mother, I had some good roots instilled in me when it came to the kitchen.
Well, apparently, if you like to, like, do your turkey 12 minutes a pound, that's perfect. So speaking about turkey,
yeah.
What is your favorite holiday protein? And we're not talking Thanksgiving here. Do you like ham? Do you like do you like turkey? Or do you like standing rib roast? What is your favorite when it comes to Christmas and, you know, the holidays?
I'm going to go with, I have two favorite proteins. One is a standing rib roast and a leg of lamb.
Lake of Lions. Now you're talking my language. Okay, so are you secretly
Greek.
From South Africa?
Come on now. We have this South African Greek thing going on.
Okay, so let's talk lamb. So you like lamb for the holidays. So what do you do to
I
your
love
lamb? Do you
holidays.
Roast it? Do you
so,
stuff it? What do you do?
Okay, so I do a Greek leg of lamb style with orzo. And to me, lamb and lemon is a marriage made in heaven. So I literally put my lamb in a roasting pan. I roast it really high, like 500 for 15 minutes. And I salt, pepper, fresh oregano, olive oil, and lots of lemon. I squeeze a lot of lemon on, like 3 lemons, all the juice of the lemon on it. And then I throw
wow.
it in the pan for 15 minutes on high. When then I take it out and I add all my orzo to the bottom of the pan, and then I add
mm-hmm.
fresh tomato sauce.
Oh, wow. Okay,
strange.
So I'm coming to your
yeah.
house for dinner.
Right, I know. And then some chicken broth. And I let the orzo cook in the chicken broth. Then the juices of the lamb come out, and that lemon, and also a little thing people don't know, lemon and tomato. Beautiful. Lemon juice and tomato sauce or lemon zest on tomatoes. It's a beautiful thing. So all that together with that lamb juice, it's perfect.
Okay, so now let me ask you. Lemon is acidic, and tomatoes are acidic too. So what do you do to counterbalance that acidity? Do you use a little
lamb.
Sugar with it? Or the fat of the lamb. There you go.
The fat of the
yes.
lamb. Yep.
When in doubt,
that's
use
perfect.
Fat. Now, I do agree with that. I do agree with that. And you know, we love to do lamb as well, and I do it lots of different other ways. Now, you said fresh oregano. Please tell everybody out there why it's so much better to use fresh herbs than it is
oh,
anything else.
Oh, my God. If I could give anybody one cooking tip in my world, please don't use dried herbs. Don't use them. Don't use them. Don't use them. If anybody,
why? Tell
know,
me why.
Well, first of all, how long do we know that they've been sitting, dried out from wherever they're coming from, in some plastic jar? They could have been sitting there for 2 years. If you smell, literally take fresh oregano and take a jar of or a plastic container of dried oregano. Smell the difference. That's all you have to do. There's no
exactly.
other question in the world. Once you smell it, you know. It's worth the. I think that every dried herb smells the same. Except for oregano,
yes, no,
I'm
with you.
Bad pizza to me.
Like bad pizza. Wow, okay. Well, so okay, so listen. So you said you just got through cooking a holiday meal, and you said people get up way ahead of time. And I know this because I have so many friends that stress themselves to death over
yep.
you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas and the holidays and Hanukkah and everything because they have to cook so far ahead. When do you start cooking? Because I, once again, I don't have patience. I can't stand there and cook for 8 hours. I mean, technically I could. But I usually just start a little bit before time because if you do your prep ahead of time. When do you start your cooking? Do you start, like, really early and let it rest and then warm it up? Or what do you do?
No, you know, you're right with the sides. I mean, if there's some prep that I could do the day before to make my life easy, I will. And that's mostly dicing and chopping. And then I'll
sure.
container everything up and put it away. As the day of, usually, though, I like to give myself a good 3 hours. And 3 hours in the morning will get me prepped and ready to go. For instance, though, I am making homemade, I say manigot, everyone says manicotti, whatever. You know, it's just the Italian way. So, but I make it with crepes, and then I'll make fresh ricotta. Instead of the pasta, I do crepes, and I roll it and bake it. Those
yeah.
I'll make the day before. So anything that you can make the day before that's going to be in a tray that you're going to throw in the oven and bake, then I'll do that and all my dicing. But as far as cooking the main ingredient, the proteins or whatever else, that's just, you know, that's kind of the fun of the holidays, I think, is hanging out in the kitchen and roasting some lamb and making a salad and doing all your sides. All my Brussels sprouts will be cut the day before or whatever I decide to use. And so maybe it takes me 2 days to get a full, big, huge holiday meal done.
You know, and that's
and
what I'm trying to
mean. 8 hours.
Yes, yes. No, I agree. Well, and that's what I'm trying to tell people with just a little bit of prep, guys. Get your onions chopped. Get everything chopped. Get it prepped. Get it in the refrigerator, and then that, it just makes your life so much easier. And Michelle, it sounds like you are so much like my family. We think that everything about the holidays is everybody ending up in the kitchen and getting all those
yes.
great, delicious smells, and you know, having a glass of wine. And speaking of wine, what is your favorite holiday cocktail?
Oh,
why are you laughing? You've already had a couple of glasses, apparently. If you've had dinner.
had a few glasses of wine tonight, barely, sir. I drink. Well, I mean, we all love eggnog, right? I think everyone loves it. So it's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I try not to indulge too much because it's bad around my waistline. But most people like it with rum. I like it with bourbon.
Oh, well, now you're talking my language. I do agree. I'm trying to get more into bourbon. But, like, do you do something specific, or do you just add the bourbon to the eggnog and sprinkle it with cinnamon? Or do you have, like, a whole cocktail mix that you do?
I actually sprinkle it with nutmeg because I'm a nutmeg freak and bourbon. And
okay.
No, that's it. That's my thing. Or a good old-fashioned.
Oh, a fashion? Okay, some people don't know what a fashion is. Oh,
old-fashioned.
Okay, yes.
A good old-fashioned.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what, when it comes to the holidays, I got to say, and a lot of people, especially chefs, we like to get crazy. And just like you were saying on the intro, I am as traditional as they come. I like the way I was brought up is the way I want to eat. So it just makes you feel more homey and more comfortable, and you always get those holiday memories and feelings from food that you grew up with. So, you know,
exactly.
I don't like to go too crazy and stray away from what I know.
Okay, but, you know, some people do like to go a little crazy, and I'm the same way. I don't like to go too wild. I do like that comfort food. I mean, that's what the holidays is about. But I've had a lot of people email me with requests, thinking outside of the box, what are some different side dishes that you can make? And I'm sure you've had the same question. Some people not necessarily want to go crazy. They just want a different spin on some of the traditionals. What are some ideas that you have? Just a few different ideas on side dishes, or what do you do different? Do you add a different spice, or what's your thing?
Well, you know what? I mean, here, I guess I do stay traditional, and there are certain things like Brussels sprouts. You know, when I was a kid, they used to just roast them, and that was it. Well, I like to use pancetta or bacon and some orange zest and maple syrup, a really good maple syrup, and roast them.
Nice.
That changes the whole game. You've got your whole savory, sweet, you know, salty thing going on. If I was going to make a green bean casserole, and people like green beans, just make the mushroom, a cream mushroom sauce yourself. Make a bechamel sauce and, you know, your mushrooms, and fry your own crispy shallots instead of some boxed onions. And I really think that's when you start thinking out of the box. We don't have, because I'm such a traditionalist, I don't go that far out of the box. But what I do is I make everything from scratch, and that makes everything. I guess I would say that to me is out of the box. So I'm going to make this beautiful mushroom cream.
Yes, and
you know,
it kind of is. Now you said you fried shallots. Now, what do you do? How do you just pop them in there? Because we had a talk a while ago. Folks, just for you guys that didn't know this, a while back we had a live chat on Facebook with one of our other fellow Food Network stars, Marty Duncan, and some people asked what's a different spin you can do on a green bean casserole. And, Michelle, you were talking about the fried shallots on top. Please tell everybody what do you do. And you don't have to go into your deepest, darkest secret. You can give them kind of.
I don't even deep fry them. I take shallots and almost just saute them and dry them out until they're crispy. So a little bit of olive oil in the pan, salt and pepper, and let them go and let them get crispy. So I kind of let them almost go slow and soften before they caramelize, and then turn up the heat and get them really crispy. Start to fry them slow and slow at first, soften, and then just fry them. And they get really crispy, and I sprinkle them on top. If you want to get really crazy, you could take them. You can literally take a bigger shallot and make little rings out of it, and flour it and deep fry it. You can do that too. That's also delicious.
It's delicious, and it means it's more calories around your waist.
More calories around your waist, but everything is coming from your hands and fresh food.
That's right.
Hopefully, and then that's good.
Exactly. Now, speaking about fresh fruit, that's one of the things that I absolutely love about New England, is that you get the freshest seafood here. I have completely fallen in love with New England. I mean, just the scallops and the oysters and the little necks and everything. Do you have a seafood recipe that you do that's not necessarily traditional around the holidays, but that you absolutely love to do? Or maybe a seafood starter that's absolutely a must-have that you can share with us?
Yeah, I have a couple. An oyster Rockefeller, got to do it. But you got to take your own spin on it. So, I mean, you're right, Linky. Thank you for saying it. New England has the best seafood anywhere. So our oysters are beautiful, especially Maine oysters. They're gorgeous. So I like to use Swiss chard instead of spinach because spinach is really mushy. And maybe some pancetta or chorizo instead of bacon if you choose to use meat. And I do that. And then saute that together with some heavy cream and a lemon zest and Parmesan cheese. Top the oysters and make a nice gremolata breadcrumb. And that's a beautiful dish and very easy for people at home. Or Rhode Island baked stuffed clams. We call them a stuffy in Rhode Island. I love to start the holidays with a good baked stuffed clam.
A stuffy. Wow, I have been here for almost 4 to 5 years. I've never heard that terminology.
Are you kidding me?
Stuffy.
I'm taking it out next week. We're going to get stuffies and chowder.
We're going to get stuffies. Okay, so what do you stuff it with?
Okay, so baked stuffed clam. I take big quahogs and steam them open. And this is kind of a lot of work. So this will be done the day before. Steam open the clams, take the clams out, and if you can either chop them a rough chop or put them in a food processor and give them a chop. And then I saute the clams. Well, the clams are in after. So we put the clams aside. We saute onions and garlic. And I like a little yellow pepper in there, a little yellow bell pepper or red pepper. Chorizo, because we love chorizo. And now we're sauteing them in olive oil and butter. And then we're going to add fresh breadcrumbs. If you can't get fresh breadcrumbs, a good store-bought will do, I guess.
you guess.
And then, I guess. But if you have an old stale loaf of bread, just grind it up in a food processor, it's perfect. And then we're going to add that, and then a little white wine. And then we add a little bit of hot sauce, Tabasco, Sriracha, whatever you like out there, some fresh dill, and celery. Celery sauteed in there, sorry about that. And then we stuff our shells, and we bake them.
Okay, well, you had
really
me at all of that. Yes,
and you make this really beautiful stuffing, and it's meaty, and it's salty, and herby, and it's winey and buttery. And you bake it, and then the way New Englanders or Rhode Islanders like to eat them, we serve a delicious baked stuffy with a lemon wedge and some hot sauce, because that's how it's supposed to be done.
I do love my hot sauce, and I tell you, I had the experience this past summer. We were on Cape Cod, and I usually go on the outside, you know, on the ocean side, but I went on the bay side, and I walked into some of these oyster farms, and it's amazing. Those guys are out there. They're sorting them and classing them, and I never realized why oysters were so expensive, and now I know. Now I know exactly. But this one guy was out there, and he had his beer, and he had his lemon wedge, and his hot sauce, and he said, "Would you like to have one?" And I said, "Of course I do." And it was the most delicious, so creamy and buttery, and it was just amazing. So,
and
I mean,
crisp.
Everything
our,
is...
Our oysters are so briny and crisp. They're just bright, you know? They're like,
I do.
They're like a snap in your mouth. You're like, they wake you up. They're just delicious. So, I'm a big fan.
I agree. Okay, so those are some great ideas for some seafood starters. We're gonna have to go get stuffies next week. I do agree. But do you do a seafood soup or a stew around this time of the year? Maybe like the day after Christmas or something like that, when you know everybody's just stuffed, but they want something that's just delicious. Do you do a bouillabaisse, or is there anything fun that you do?
I'm a big Cioppino fan.
Oh,
so
no, I've had your Cioppino.
Yeah.
Guys, it's dangerous. Her Cioppino is dangerous. But please
well,
tell everybody out there what exactly you do to your – you don't have to tell them exactly, but just tell them about your Cioppino. I mean, the most delicious
Cioppino,
thing.
I always have a good marinara sauce that I make that is personally mine, never a jar. And then I like to – what I think makes my Cioppino is I make a roasted pepper sauce, and it's roasted peppers and – bread soaked in milk and sauteed onions, and I puree all that together. So usually what goes in my Cioppino are mussels, clams, whatever kind of fish I have, so maybe some halibut or cod is really good in there, and then some shrimp and scallops. And, if, of course, you have lobster. We like lobster. I start my shellfish first because that opens. Once that shellfish opens, the tomato sauce goes in, and then I squeeze that red pepper sauce in there, and then I add my fish and let it cook. Literally, I mean, I think what people get scared of is the fact that it cooks so quick. But if you have your sauces made, your Cioppino could be a 5-10 minute dish. It really is that quick. Everything is prepped and ready to go. And you have your sauces made. Cioppino could be a beautiful thing that people can make, and then fresh parsley right at the end. That's it. Crunchy bread.
Yes, crunchy bread. Yes, that's the key.
Crunchy
bread.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So I know that you do have a little bit of sweet tooth, of a sweet tooth, folks. I went up there to the Pearl in Maine, and usually when I go up there and see Michelle, because she was executive chef there the past few years, and usually when I go there, she puts me to work. I go up there to visit, but then she puts me to work, and usually she puts me to work making her some bread pudding. So I discovered that she has a very, very badly, but like horrible sweet tooth. So tell me, do you have a favorite holiday dessert? What is your favorite dessert around this time of year?
My favorite holiday dessert is Linky's blueberry bread pudding with a bourbon caramel sauce. Hands down, my favorite dessert across the world. Done.
Okay, now I'm going to have to go post the recipe. Thanks.
I'm sorry, but that is what I like to eat. It's the best.
Okay,
and
but
you know
other
what?
Than that.
Other than that, shoot.
A traditional, you know, you have, there's pecan pie, and there's pumpkin pie, and there's all these apple pies and everything.
Nope.
What's your favorite?
Cannolis.
Oh, really? That's my nightmare.
Yes. Okay, so listen, remember, I'm Italian Greek, so I grew up in Connecticut. When my family would come from New York, they would bring boxes of pastries, cream puffs, cannolis. That's my favorite. I don't like pumpkin pie. I don't like pecan pie. And again, I'm going back to how you grew up is what you like to eat, right? So if I can get a really good cannoli or a serious cream puff, that's what I eat after dinner, and that's all I want. One cream puff.
Nice.
After a big bowl of cioppino, I'm the happiest girl in the world.
Do you ever make your own?
Yes, I do. I do make my own.
There was too long of a silence for you.
I don't like to bake, Linky. You know that. So it's not my favorite
thing. I know.
The one thing I can make a creme brulee, so that means I can make a pastry cream, and I can make pâte à choux, which is essentially cream puff dough. So, yes, I make cream puffs. Cannoli's not so good. I tried my hand at it once. The filling was delicious. I made my own ricotta. The pastry itself, I don't know what it was.
We'll just order our cannoli shells. I do agree.
Yeah.
That's easier just to order.
Yeah,
okay, now so Christmas brunch, like when you just got through cooking all this great food or anything the day after, do you have anything special that you do with the leftovers? Or do
absolutely.
You cook something that's just absolutely a family tradition that you have to have for brunch?
No, usually leftovers. So if I have like a lamb leftover, I'll dice up lamb really small and maybe some butternut squash or some sweet potatoes and make a hash. And then it always involves some sort of Benedict. So that would be my hash.
Ooh.
With some poached eggs, and then maybe a roasted tomato hollandaise would go on it, or whatever fits the meat, the protein I make. If it's beef, I might just make a traditional hollandaise or horseradish hollandaise or, you know, go along that line. But it's always whatever meat's left is chopped small, with some kind of potato made into a hash, and then poached eggs. So I call it my next day, Benedict.
Next day Benedict. I like that.
Next
I like
day
that. Benedict. And do you have a favorite cocktail that you do for brunch? You know, a lot of people do mimosas, and one of the newest things out there, guys, right now is beer mimosa. So, you know, instead of using Prosecco or champagne, you actually use the beer for that carbonation and that nice little sparkly. Michelle, do you have a favorite that you like, or do you just coffee or a Bloody Mary?
I'm coffee and a shot of bourbon. No, I'm kidding. I'm only kidding.
No, you weren't.
Coffee, and I am a Bloody Mary girl. So mimosas, maybe a Bellini once in a while, but I like a good spicy, meaty Bloody Mary to go along with it.
Okay, you said meaty. What do you mean meaty? Like, do you throw some clams
meaty
in there?
Like, no, but clam juice, Clamato juice.
Mm-hmm.
Have you
Very
heard that?
Nice.
The Clamato? Right, so
yes.
You take Clamato juice instead, it's good. And when I say beefy, I mean sometimes I make my Bloody Mary mix, I pour a little beef stock in there.
Nice.
Give it that really hearty, meaty flavor. I like my Bloody Mary to almost be like a meal.
Yeah, and I do agree with that. I mean, there's so many great toppings out there. What's your favorite Bloody Mary topping?
Shoot, shrimp or an oyster, floating oyster on top, what the hell?
Folks, there you have it. There you have it. Michelle in her finest. She loves Bloody Mary. She loves good old fashions, and she loves cooking. Guys, the key in this is to not overthink it. Michelle, am I right? Don't overthink your holidays. Just prep a little bit ahead of time, and then, you know, make it easy.
Yeah, it's all about having fun. I think people lose that. It's about having fun. Everyone, I'm talking to people who are like, I'm stressing out. I'm like, why are you stressing out? This is supposed to be a great time. Like, have fun. Bring people in. Bring your kids in. Have them not chop something, but have them mix something or do something or roll something and, like, make it a family adventure.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I do agree with that. Michelle, thank you so much for coming tonight and being such a great guest on the show. Guys, you can get her on her website, Chef on a Pier. She's got some great recipes and things out there on Facebook and Twitter. She's on Instagram. And the same with me. If you guys have any questions, please shoot us a couple of questions. Or even if you just want to say, hey, just we'd love to hear from you guys. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter, Linky Marie, Linkie Marais. And you know what? Find me on Twitter. Find me on Instagram. Thank you guys so much for joining tonight. And thank you for cooking it Linky style, or Michelle style in this case. Beast, have a great night. You guys have a great holiday season.
Thanks for having me. I love you guys.
Absolutely. Y'all have a great night, and keep the holidays bright.
Bye, everyone. Merry Christmas.
Radio is on its way. Food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.